Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Yes, Lord, you are great. And oh, it brings joy to our hearts this morning. We bless you. We bless you. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give a couple of real quick announcements before we head into our time in God's Word. Just a point of information, since we are still in the place where we are singing our songs using the worship video tracks. There may come time to times when you're looking at the lyrics up on the board, on the screen, going, well, that's a weird spelling of that word. Just to let you know, the resource that we have found to be most helpful is British. And so what you have from time to time is you're going to have British spelling of honor and a British spelling. So it's not that we have typoed something. We actually don't have the capacity to enter in and to change the lyrics that are on the video. So if it is spelled in the Queen's English, it's going to remain spelled in the Queen's English without apology. But also today, we're going to sing a song at the end of the service that the words are just marginally different than what we sing in the United States. And it's a very well-known hymn, and you're going, well, that feels wrong. If it feels wrong to you, I just give you permission to sing it the way it feels right. I'm going to try, even though this one particular song kind of gets caught in my throat, because it's a song I've been singing since I was first saved, and it's a song that we all know, you all know it. At some point, you're going to, oh, that's the song it was talking about. You're going to notice it. So feel free to sing it as it is on the screen or to sing it the way you always sang it. Let's just call our Americanized version of this hymn the right version and go ahead and roll with it. But if you like, if you fancy yourself to be a tea sipper from Great Britain, then by all means, do that. So that's just, I want to give that announcement. Also, following our service, following our time of preaching, the women are going to be gathering in the back for women's fellowship today. That's a pretty quick turnover. This Wednesday night is our monthly prayer night, and I would encourage you to come out. 6:30 here in the sanctuary, 6:30 this Wednesday night for us to come together, and we're going to pray God's kingdom come amongst us. Also, if you have secured or reserved a ticket or would like to secure one of the remaining tickets for the Christmas program, let me know, and it is appropriate for you to begin to give me your resources for that. That is, I'm taking money. So that I can pass it on to the Candlelight Theater. So there's that. And then also, today our text is going to be from Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 18 through 24. And what I want for us to do today is I want us to read it together. So if you will open up your electronic device, the Bible that you brought with you, if you are using one of the white pew Bibles, it happens, our text begins on page 1111, so you can just cut to the chase and get there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 through 24, and then while you're getting there, just one final bit of information. Our audio upgrade began this week. The sound already is much better than it was, even if you haven't noticed. It is much better than it was, and finally, after 7.5 years, there is no radio sound coming through our speakers. You may have not noticed it, but I will assure you, I haven't noticed it every single Sunday in the last 7.5+ years. So this is, you know, I'm ready for revival. Literally, this is a good day. I was telling Greg that there is a chance that I will come in here in some weekday, turn the sound system on, and sit in the pew for several hours and just listen to nothing. Because I can. And I find that to be very exciting. So Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24, and I would like for us to all read this together. Beginning with verse 18, and we're going to stop in verse 24. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is God's word. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And my prayer this morning is that you would give us all ears to hear what your spirit wants to say to us through this word. I pray for grace, Lord, to preach your word with your heart to your people. Amen. Amen. If that passage didn't do it for you, I'm just going to tell you, it should have. This is, well, like all the Bible is awesome, right? But for some reason, this just struck me so hard and so glorious this week. And I was talking to Greg. I said, you know, there's not a chance I can do this passage justice. It's a good thing that I don't have to do this passage justice, that the Holy Spirit who inspired this passage can use me to speak to you. And truly, may you hear him in this time together. In this passage today, we are pointed to a better mountain. We are pointed to a better city. We are pointed to a better sanctuary. The better mountain, the better city, the better sanctuary, the better mediator that comes to us as being members of the new covenant. But before we get to all the betters, I want us to briefly take a look at what is lesser. And so I'm going to read verse 18 through 21 again, if you will follow along with me. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. So let me start off by being a pastor to you and talking about Bible study and Bible reading. Here is Bible study reality that we can draw from this passage. I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be mean, but here is the truth. You have not studied this passage, nor have you even read it thoughtfully, if you did not ask yourself at the end of verse 21, what is he talking about? If you didn't pause and go, man, that seems awful. What is he talking about? So that's the first thing. As you're studying, that's a question that ought to be arisen in your mind. And a question that you ask. But then I want to add this. You also have not studied it well, nor given particular thought to us, if you haven't chased down the answer to that question. If you paused and said, what is he talking about? and thought, man, I'm glad I haven't been brought to that. You know, that's a good conclusion. But the next step is to, all right, let me pause before I get to verse 22 and figure out what it is he's talking about. So here's the spoiler alert. He's talking about the giving of the Ten Commandments to Israel on Mount Sinai through Moses. This is the event that is being referenced in verses 18 through 21. And to be clear, it was God's good gift to Israel. And as we're studying on Wednesday night the Ten Commandments, it remained God's good gift to his people. But it wasn't a particularly freeing event. It was a gift to help God's people move in the right direction, but it was also a reminder that they could never get all the way there on their own strength. And so it became fearful. So, chase it down. Mount Sinai is the lesser mountain. We're going to see Mount Zion is the greater mountain, the better mountain. Mount Sinai was both touchable. You haven't come to what can be touched, to what can be seen, to what can be smelled, right? What can be handled and sensed with our five senses. It's both touchable and it's terrifying according to this passage, right? Its touchability shows that the old covenant, the law that was given through Moses on Mount Sinai, is associated with the sanctuary that is made by hands. The temple in Jerusalem where sacrifice came and where sacrifice was made, where animals were killed by human hands over and over and over and over. And even though thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sacrifices were made, nobody's sin was ever truly forgiven and nobody's guilty conscience was ever taken care of. The displays of God's glory on Mount Sinai, and if you've watched the Ten Commandments, you know, back in the day, it seems pretty powerful, but, you know, that's insipid compared to the real power that was on display. That's nothing. But the display of God's glorious holiness in Mount Sinai was so terrifying in its visibility and what was seen, and in its audibility, what was heard, that both Deuteronomy and Exodus record it as being truly fearful. Deuteronomy and Exodus, in describing the giving of the Ten Commandments, gives us a picture of how terrifying it was for Israel who was down at the base of the mountain. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 11. And you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain while the mountain burned with fire to the heart of heaven, wrapped in darkness, cloud, and gloom. This is what we just read in Hebrews. Oh, that's disturbing if you're there, right? Exodus 19, beginning in verse 16, describes the fearfulness. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Verse 18. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Again, this is a terrifying place to be. Exodus 20, verses 18 and 19. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were, and I want to say rightly, afraid and trembled, and they stood afar off. Isn't that the reaction we have when there is a very loud noise that we don't know what's going on? We look and we step back, right? That's the natural reaction. In verse 19, and said to Moses, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us lest we die. So at Mount Sinai, the people were frightened. They were terrified by the sound of a trumpet, the sound of the trumpet which grew louder and louder. But it wasn't just the trumpet that caused them the fear. It was the very voice of God. The Lord's voice thundered so mightily that the Israelites pleaded with God, "Don't speak to us." They begged that God would speak to Moses and that Moses would relay to them whatever message God wanted to give them. The glory of the Lord so marked Mount Sinai when the Ten Commandments were being given with God's dangerous holiness that no human or animal, with the exception of Moses, was permitted to touch it. And our passage, Hebrews 12, verse 21, reminds us that even Moses, remember, Moses is the one who God spoke to face to face. Even Moses trembled in fear. So verses 18, 19, and 20, what they're really doing in some way is they are setting the stage for the declaration that comes to you, a declaration that comes to me, in fact, a declaration that comes to all of us who have come to God, into relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that this kind of fear, the terror that was associated with Mount Sinai where the commandments were given, the terror that is associated with God's voice speaking, causing God's people to shrink back in fear, that kind of fear, the fear of God's immense holiness, isn't for us. Verse 18, but you have not come to what can be touched. You have not come to this mountain, that when the holiness of God is on full display, it causes you to flee in terror, to cower. This is not for God's new covenant people. It's stage setting is what it is. Loved ones, we have not come to what may be touched. We have not come into our relationship with God by laws that only expose our guilt. We have not come into relationship with the Savior of the world and the Creator of the universe through laws that only say you can't obey the law, which is what the commandments did. Romans makes it clear, the law that was given through Moses was a school teacher to us so that we would know we can't obey the law, teaching us that we need some help to become holy because we don't have the goods in and of ourselves to be holy. It's incredibly good news for us that we have not come to Mount Sinai. But it's only good news if we've come to a better mountain. It's only good news if there is another place that we have come to. And that brings us, verse 22 and 24, where here's the good news. We've come to a better place. It's not just that we haven't been brought into the location with what can be touched and where we can have our sinfulness exposed so that we run away from everything that's holy. We've brought into an entirely different situation, entirely different scene. Verse 22 through 24. But you have come. In fact, if you have your own Bible there, if you have a digital one, you can highlight. Go back to verse 18 and highlight, you have not come, or circle it. You have not come. And then jump down to verse 22 and circle or highlight or underline, but you have come. But you have come to Mount Zion. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enthroned in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You can have background music to your Bible study next time. Have something in a minor chord. Have a dirge going for verse 18 through 21. And then make it something major. Major chord. Like the key of C. Something that is only positive. No flats, no sharps. And just make it glorious. Because there is a mood shift here. You haven't been brought into what will only cause you to despair. but you have come to Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a mountain of transforming holiness, not distancing holiness. Mount Sinai was a distancing holiness. We haven't been brought there. We in faith have been brought to Mount Zion, which is a transforming holiness. Mount Zion is a mountain of joy. It is not a mountain of dread. Mount Zion is a mountain that we are drawn to, a mountain that invites us to draw near, that we might worship and pray to the God of the mountain, as opposed to being commanded to stay away and do not touch, lest you be stoned, as was the case in the fear-filled Mount Sinai. It's kind of this. Loved ones, if you come into relationship with Jesus Christ, Mount Sinai is not for you. Mount Zion is. New covenant believers, us, you and me, new covenant believers, we have come to a better mountain. We have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So lovely is this mountain that Psalm 48 sings of it. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, it is the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great King. We have come. We have been brought to. We go to this mountain. In the book of Revelation, John sees the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it is to this city that we have come, according to verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is good stuff. This is great stuff. And like you, so you know, sometimes parents, we sit down with our sons and our daughters who begin to drift, and they drift into the areas where their affections are drawn to things that are tawdry, things that are dark, things that are ugly. And we just want to say to them, don't we? This isn't for you, son. This darkness, it's not for you. There's light for you. This shame, it's not for you. These shameful deeds, these deeds, this light, it is for you. See, we have an inheritance, and our inheritance is not one that condemns, it's one that transforms. God's holiness is only good news for those who have been touched by God, who makes them holy. Not who stay in their sin, and if they get near God to be touched by Him, they are, no man can see God and live. That's what happens if our sins aren't taken care of rightly. It is to this city that we have come through Jesus. Loved ones, this is so good. That's what I want to say. This passage is way better than this sermon. Probably the case every week. Through Jesus, we have access to this better mountain, to a better sanctuary, to a better city, the heavenly city of God. And though Hebrews chapter 13 and 14, we're going to get there in the next couple of weeks, indicates that we seek this city, a city that is yet to come. And though we look forward to what John saw in the book of Revelation, this city coming down finally in fullness, there is a way in which even now, right now, maybe especially right now, as we are gathered in church together, in worship, that we have already come to this city. There is a way that we are already experiencing part of the fullness that is yet to come. As new covenant believers, there is an already aspect, the kingdom has come in power, so that at any moment, the kingdom of darkness can be quenched and can be pushed back. And there's a way that it is not yet fully come, and we are looking forward to it coming in its fullness, so that there is no darkness anywhere ever again. But we are already living in the already portion of the coming kingdom. We have come to the city that is yet to come. We have come to the city, to the presence of the living God, even as we look forward to its coming again in fullness in the future. And I say especially right now, especially as we, you and I, are gathered in this church, or we are gathered together online via the magic of the internet. There is a way that we have come to Mount Zion, the place where God dwells and where God is worshiped. There is a way that we come together. When we come together, we come into the presence of the one who transforms us in a way that is a little bit different, and I want to say a little bit elevated from the way it happens in our own rooms when we open up our Bibles and we pray by ourselves. And let me show you what I'm talking about. Listen to how the text describes this mountain that we have come to. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and to the New Jerusalem. And we come to this. There we see we have also come into the presence of innumerable angels in festal gathering. Now, I don't know if you've ever used the phrase festal gathering, you know, in casual conversation. Hey, we're all going to come over and we're going to celebrate the wedding of my daughter, and it's going to be a festal gathering. It's one of the events, you know, you're gathered around to celebrate. Myriads of angels. You have come to myriads of angels gathered in celebration. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 and 12 gives us the audible of what takes place when the angels are gathered around the throne of God in festal gathering. Then I looked, John writes, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." We have come into the place where God is worshiped by angels. And when we gather in worship, we add our worship to the worship of angels. They are gathered in celebration, and when we gather in worship, we gather and we add our celebration to their celebration. And the Bible says, we have come to the assembly of the first throne, firstborn, enthroned in heaven. The firstborn. The firstborn in the Bible are those who are set aside for God. They have been particularly set aside in that they belong to God. And in our little passage, we see them enthroned in heaven with names. We see them as being enrolled in heaven. That is, we come to understand that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this includes, whose name are in the Lamb's Book of Life? This includes all those who are in Christ by faith. For Christ is, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, which we saw months ago, he's the firstborn son. Coming into relationship with Jesus Christ, we are in Christ, and in Christ, our names have a place of belonging in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so you have been brought to Mount Zion, and as you find yourself in Mount Zion, the city of the living God, you hear the voices of angels worshiping. They're celebrating. And there, it's not just angels, but it is the firstborn, all those who belong to Christ. Those who have gone before us, there is a voice for them around the throne of God because their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have also come to God, the judge of all. Now, here's the deal. If we have gone to Mount Sinai, the fact that God is the judge of all is not good news, because Sinai only tells us that we're guilty. And if the only news that we have is that we are guilty, all we have to look forward to is impending judgment. But we haven't come to Mount Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. And there, it is good news that God is the judge of all. Here, the God the Father is in view. He is the one with full authority to judge all people, every single person, which is fearful news. If our names aren't enrolled in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it is hopeful and joy-filled and peace-giving if we know that our names are written there. Because it speaks of not a holiness that expels us, but a holiness that transforms us. And so we are not just welcome as interlopers, we are invited as sons and daughters, as children. Come. Come. Mount Sinai pushes us away. Mount Zion invites us in. Additionally, we have come to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. This is a reference to Old Testament people of faith. Of them, the Old Testament indicates, teaches us that they lived by faith in a yet-to-come Messiah. They were looking forward to the promise coming in its fullness. What God had promised being fully accomplished. They looked forward to a Messiah. If you go through the Bible, we see in the Old Testament time after time after time, not just people living in faith of a city that was to come, not only living in faith of a Messiah who is yet to come, we see them prophesying about him who was yet to come. Of them, the Old Testament indicates that they live by faith in a yet to come Messiah, but they have now, as of Hebrews, they have now, well, actually, now as of the end of the Gospels, they have now been made perfect along with you and I through the one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Well, they died blind to the fulfillment of the promise, but when the fulfillment of the promise took place on Jerusalem as Christ was crucified on that cross, what was promised became real for them. The same thing that brought us in brought them in. We have come to the spirits of the righteous, people who are righteous, people who are good, who needed to be perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ because they were still sinful. They were living on the pre-Mount Zion life of God's people. And then lastly, we have come to, and I know you like this, we've come to Jesus. I don't know how many times are there any better words than this in the Bible, but this is the one where we go, is there anything better than this? We have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We've come to Jesus. He's a better mediator. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He is the mediator of a better covenant. The old covenant spoke of guilt and condemnation. The new covenant speaks of freedom from guilt and a guilty conscience. Under the old covenant, if we were to touch the holy ground, we would be condemned to being stoned. In the new covenant, we are transformed by grace, where God looks to us all and says, come on in. Come near. Come boldly and let your request be made known. There's no terror in holiness on Mount Zion because we've been made holy. And to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. Speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know about Abel's blood speaking out, right? It's in Genesis chapter 4. Cain had killed his brother Abel. God comes to Cain and says, hey, where's your brother? Not my day to check him out. I didn't pull Cain duty today. I'm not his keeper. And I said, the blood of your brother, whom you killed, calls out to me. And what does it say? My brother killed me, and he is condemned. The blood of Abel spoke to the condemnation of his brother Cain. The blood of Jesus Christ that has been shed, it speaks a better word for you and I. It doesn't speak to our condemnation. It doesn't speak to our guilt. It speaks to our freedom from guilt. It speaks to our forgiveness from sin. It speaks to us who were once unholy, now being made righteous. We have come to a mountain that does not push us away because we're guilty, but who, because we've been covered with the blood of Christ, we've come to a mountain where we are declared clean, where we are welcomed as sons and daughters, and we can join with the angels and with all the righteous who have been made holy and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This is good news. Now, back to, this is especially meaningful or especially appropriate as we gather together in worship. You see, there is a term in verse 23, it's called the assembly of the righteous made perfect. This term that is translated assembly is generally speaks of the church. It is a term that is used to describe the times when Israel gathered together, they assembled together to worship God's presence. This is one of the guiding passages, one of the guiding words that caused the assemblies of God, our fellowship, to name themselves assemblies of God. We wanted to have a biblical language to talk about how when we come together, we are the assembly in the same way that around a throne are assembled the righteous made perfect. And so, loved ones, we end with this very good news. But you have come to Mount Zion, where the blood of Jesus speaks. We have come to Mount Zion. There the blood of Jesus speaks of our forgiveness. There, the blood of Jesus speaks of our transformed and transforming hearts. There, the blood of Jesus speaks of our guaranteed access to God. And all of this is a call to worship. It's what it is. When you stand in Mount Zion, you cower back and you hope you don't be seen. That's great English right there. You hope you don't be seen. But I think it communicates. On Mount Zion, it calls forth from our lips worship. We hear rumor of angels gathered in festal celebration, worshiping around the throne. And we come to understand that those who went before us are also gathered around the throne, adding their voices to the angels. And we come to understand that as we gather together at 10:30, 2600 Shipley Road on this particular date, and begin with, "O Lord our God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands, how great thou art," we understand that our "how great thou art" is being lifted up from this place in the same way that it has already been lifted up time zone after time zone after time zone on this Sunday, and will continue all across the zone, time zone after time zone after time zone, until it's only Monday. And then on Monday, guess what? God's people continue to lift up praise to God, and our voices joins the voices of the angels, those who have come before, and the children who are coming behind us saying, "Jesus loves me, this I know." It's a call to worship. We haven't come to Mount Sinai, we've come to Mount Zion, and there we praise the Lord. We are gathered this morning in festal celebration. I think it's true that all people worship. All people on this planet, on this day, will have moments of worship. The sad thing is, most people will be worshiping the things that make them feel good. Only Christians will worship the one who makes them good. That's what it means to come to Mount Zion. The good news of today's passage, loved one, calls us to look beyond what we can see with our eyes, what can we touch with our hands, and to worship the triune God who makes us good. To be amazed that as we do so, as we join our voices, as we look beyond right here and right now, our voices join with countless angels to the cloud of witnesses who have gone before, who day and night never cease to pray and never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and exalt and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. We worship. Amen.